Our scripture for today comes from the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. Hear the word of the Lord. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the word lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elisha said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Be silent." When Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan," he said, "As the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and the water was parted to the one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." And Elijah said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted to you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and cried out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his clothes and tore them into pieces. He picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" When he struck the water parted to one side and to the other, and Elisha went on. May God grant his blessing upon this, his holy word. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that we would be open to your word this day. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable for you, for it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Starting off as a side note, I think this passage proves that God's got a sense of humor. When you read this, how many times have you accidentally said Elisha instead of Elijah, and vice versa? It takes a lot of thought. But anyhow. Well, I was a little behind on preparation this week because I had a busy week, including Thursday having the service for my good friend Tom, and I appreciate all of the prayers for that. Made it through, the family liked it, and everything was just great. And So when I was looking, I've been preaching from the lectionary as of late, and this is Transfiguration Sunday. So one of the passages was from Mark about going up to the hilltop, and I thought to myself, oh, not again. How many messages can I get out of that passage? And I was talking to my editor, my wife Holly, and I said, I don't like this. And she said, well, what are some of the other passages? And so I was telling her, and when I mentioned about this passage from 2 Kings, she said, why don't you talk about walking in footsteps? Or something like that. I forget exactly what it was. And that kind of struck a chord with me. As part of the committal service that I did for Tom, part of it said, Dear Lord, we thank you for Thomas Joseph Fagel, for his life, for his love, for his legacy. And it kind of struck me when Holly said, following in footsteps. I think it's pretty safe to say, well, first off, I love both my parents, but I have a special relationship, shall we say, with my father. And I would imagine that everyone, we love our parents, but there's one that is kind of our favorite. And growing up, I wanted to be just like my dad. I was going to go off and I was going to work in the steel mill, and I was going to be an elder in the Presbyterian church. I'm going to be just like dad. I'm going to follow in his footsteps. Well, as I went along in high school, I started taking classes that my dad never took. I took more math, I took more science. He took more woodshop. Nothing wrong with woodshop. So how the heck am I going to follow in my father's footsteps? Well, I kind of think I have followed in my father's footsteps. Holly would probably say a little too closely in most aspects of that. But I follow in my father's footsteps because, number one, he was committed to the church. And I have always been committed to the church in one way or another. I actually was ordained an elder in the Presbyterian Church. I was also ordained a deacon in the Presbyterian Church. And I got told that the only other time that I would kneel in a Presbyterian church would be if I was ordained a pastor. Well, God had a different plan. But anyhow, so I was following my father's footsteps. The church was important. The administration of the church. The speaking of the word. Now, my dad is very good at figuring out projects, especially wood carpentry type stuff. Holly and I's first home was half of a duplex in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. It was just like a condo kind of thing. It was beautiful. We loved it, right? Absolutely. It had an unfinished basement. And Holly and I said, we want to finish it. So Dad said, okay, Mom and I will come out. And we get down there and he takes some measurements and he sits down with a pencil and a piece of paper and he does a couple of things. And he says, okay, we're going to need this many 2x4s. We're going to need this, we're going to need this, and we're going to need this. And I'm sitting there, how the heck did you figure that out? He was right. Part of the wall that was between the two units, this was all poured concrete. And this wall going down the stairs, it wasn't straight. It was curvy. And I was like, there's no way in the world that we're going to be able to, you know, put two by fours there so we can, you know, put sheetrock and then paneling on top of it. I had to go out and do something. And I come back and I go downstairs and my dad is ripping 2x4s on end. And he created, when he put, we put the wood in, it was perfectly square. So my dad is able to figure stuff out. I have found that I have that ability too. Okay. I can figure out construction projects. I cannot sit down and work out how many pieces of 2x4 and everything that we're going to need. But I do have that ability to figure something out or try very hard to figure it out, come up with a good solution, and then act upon it. What else? My dad had a high school education, and as most, I think, sons and also daughters, you go through a phase. When you're little, your dad is a god, small g. Your dad is this person that you look up to, that you want to be just like. My dad is perfect. And then as you grow up, you start to see, you know, the faults that we all have. And you get into your teenage years. And, you know, when you become a teenager, a very interesting thing happens. You know everything. And your parents know zip. And then as you get older, all of a sudden, my dad was the smartest person in the entire world. Even though he just has a high school education, and I have got a bachelor's degree, and I have two master's degrees. My brother has a bachelor and master's, and he also has a doctorate in music. And dad is still smarter than the both of us. How do you follow in those kind of footsteps? The story that we have here today is about the prophet Elijah. And in my head canon, Elijah is God's hitman. When God needs something big and destructive done, he calls on Elijah. Back in 1 Kings, Elijah's the one that goes up against the prophet of Baal and absolutely destroys them. In the passage before this one in 2 Kings today, the king asks a captain and 50 men to go get Elijah. And Elijah doesn't quite like their attitude, and he says, let fire come down from heaven, and gone. Another group comes, same thing. Elijah calls down fire, gone. The third one that comes is a little bit more humble, and Elijah goes off. But now in this story, Elijah's coming to the end of his ministry here on earth. And he knows that God is going to take him straight up to heaven. So he is on this final journey, not unlike Jesus' journey. that we'll be looking at here soon. And he takes Elisha along with him. And Elijah, I think, wants to spare Elisha some torment. So he keeps saying, "You stay here." And Elijah says, "Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. I'm coming with you. I'm coming with you." He wants to be with his master. And it gets to the point where Elijah's going to be taken up. "What can I do for you, Elisha?" And I've always thought that this was a little bit arrogant. He says, "I want double your spirit." It's a little bit arrogant, I would say. But in the end, Elisha sees Elijah taken up, and he knows that what he wants is going to happen. And what does Elisha do? Elisha starts off. He picks up where Elijah finished. Elijah parted the Jordan, not unlike Moses parting the Red Sea. And going back, Elisha does the same thing. He wanted to follow in his master's footsteps. And he did go off, and he did it, and he did it his own way. Now, Jesus has commanded us to follow him. He is our master. We are his servant. He calls us to walk in his footsteps. Walk along the path that I have walked. Walk along the path that I want you to continue on after I'm gone. That's a big order. Okay? Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was God in corporeal form. Jesus could drive out demons. Jesus could heal the sick. Jesus knew how to handle the arrogant scribes and priests and Pharisees. Good Lord, I can't do that. Can any of you drive out demons? Can any of you lay hands on someone and instantly heal them? Some of us can talk back, and I'm not saying I can do this. Some of us can actually mount an argument against people that are speaking against God. I can do a pretty good job. How the heck am I supposed to walk in Jesus' shoes? How am I supposed to walk in his footprints? The good thing is we don't need to be able to drive out demons on our own. We don't need to be able to instantly heal a person, because the footsteps that we are walking in are the ones that say, "Spread the good news to everyone." Emphasize on everyone. Not just, you know, the people in the supermarket. It's the bums, the downtrodden, the poor. And again, How can we do this? It's a tall order. And the good thing is, we're not walking in the footsteps by ourselves. Jesus has walked this path, set this path of footprints in front of us. But as we walk it, he walks beside us. He whispers to us by the Holy Spirit the things that we need to do, what he asks us to do. We're all familiar with the poem, Footsteps in the Sand. And I think that that is a very, very accurate representation of Jesus walking beside us. And when we hit those hard moments, our footsteps stop. And Jesus carries us for a little bit until we can get back going. So let me ask one more time. How is it that we are to follow in the footsteps of Jesus? We don't have to think about it. We just have to start walking. We don't need to know where we're going to go. We don't need to exactly know what we're going to do other than we are going to do the will of Jesus. All we got to do is keep stepping, remembering that Christ is beside us, God is with us, and anything that we hit in life, we have his support. And so, keep walking. There's a saying, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Don't be afraid to take that first step. And then a second, and then a third, and so on. Amen.